Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Jewelry. So, for example, a 3.5 carat total weight ring that features a 3 carat above love star center diamond. That's a big ass diamond. Unmatched sparkle performance, only $39.99, and you get a pair of free diamond stud earrings. So, like, you could give the diamond, and then you got the Christmas present and the diamond stud earrings. Like, how about that? It is the summer of 1,000 engagements at Memphis. By the way, anything, you go in there and you design a ring and you get a stunning, beautiful a ring, you still got the meant-to-be guarantee. If you're not completely satisfied with your custom-made engagement ring, 365 days to return it. That's all year long. That's all year long. It's not just during the summer of 1,000 engagements. But this is the time to get into Robert Irwin Jewelers. They've got 5 convenient locations, or shop online at rijewelers.com. Chris Harrington next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal. Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
It's Representing Memphis by Booker T. Jones with what I've always considered some unnecessary guest vocals. I would rather hear him singing it himself, but a good song. I gather that the city of Memphis has taken up arms against the demon scourge Stephen A. Smith. So,
yeah. Do you have anything you want to say about any of that yesterday, the back and forth? It was news that Josh said, I guess I'm going to be here, you know, like,
I think that was definitely news. I had reached out to Drew when that happened and we talked about is this, and I thought that's like the most newsworthy, like, Josh tweet in a long time. Not that it was news to me, because I think given the context of the conversation around, for him to publicly come out and say, like, look, I mean, that suggests, like, if not an understanding on a contract, an understanding that, like, you're not going anywhere, you know? So yeah. I thought that part was very newsy, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it was sort of buried in the noise, but that was, because now we've had Zach Kleiman say it, and we've had John Moran say it. And
right.
So if one of the questions of the summer was, and it was, what's going to happen with Ja, it feels like, as you've been predicting all along, that Ja will be here. All right, yesterday I told people that I assigned your piece as homework.
You asked if I had anything on the Stephen A. Smith thing.
Uh-huh.
And I somewhat reluctantly, because I don't know if people want to hear stuff like this, but I kind of do, because I think...
Oh, please, yes.
The messenger is so obnoxious and grandstanding that I think there is something hyper-specific in the message that, frankly, is quite real and is, like, maybe worth acknowledging or talking about. And that is that he was not talking about some general perception of the city. He was talking about the specific perception among NBA players. And however impolitic it was, like, he's not making stuff up. I actually had a conversation with someone during the Thunder Grizzly series during the playoffs about this. I didn't then go to, like, you know, grab a bullhorn about it, but I had this conversation. And what I had heard before Stephen A. Smith said this is that there's a difference between, let me give you a little bit of context. there's a difference between being an NBA player on an opposing team who visits Memphis, passes through, and spends a night or two in a downtown hotel and then keeps moving, versus an NBA player who, like, plays for the Memphis Grizzlies and lives in Memphis. These are two different things, and that's maybe something that, you know, is important here. But I had had a conversation during the playoffs about this where I was basically told that, like, you know, there are security people for other teams who, when they come to Memphis, they tell the players on the team, like, you know, don't spend a lot of time just running around downtown. Like, you know,
get your told to stay in the hotel. 100%.
Yeah, get an early dinner and stay in the hotel, right? And when you're told that, and you're not told that in every city you go to, that does impact the perception that other players would have about the city. And that, I think, is a legitimate issue for the Grizzlies. I don't know if it's an enormous issue, but I do think it's a real thing that matters. Now, what I would say, if I'm talking to an NBA player or, like, signing with the Grizzlies, I would say, you're not passing through to stay in a downtown hotel. You're going to live here. And, like, talk to the players who have lived here. And, like, they tend to like it, right? And that if you live in the city, like, you know, you live somewhere out east or whatever, and you come in, and, like, NBA players are super rich, and, like, super rich people live great in Memphis, just like they live great, like, everywhere else. And so it's not really an issue if you play for the Memphis Grizzlies. But if you're just passing through, you're like, you know, we're here for two nights, we got an off night, like, let's go carouse downtown. Like, you're maybe less likely to do that in Memphis than some other cities, and that is an issue not only for the Grizzlies but for the city.
No, it's actually one of the reasons that I was struggled right about a little bit, because I think, listen, it's very clear. If you're recruiting people to St. Jude or to Rhodes College as a student or to the University of Memphis as a student or for FedEx or whatever else, you have heard things about Memphis and it gets in the way of recruiting people to Memphis. It just does. And it's one of the obstacles. Anyone will tell you that. It would not at all surprise me that if it is that NBA players, for the reasons you point out, that when they're told to live a certain way when they come here, that it is an obstacle, and that family members might indeed like. And so it's very clearly, I don't think it actually has much to do with. And this is the way I thought it was sort of out of context shot by Stephen A. Is that,
yes,
I don't know, it has much to do with what's going to happen this summer at all, or with whether Ja's going to be traded at all. So
I agree.
I thought it was just wrong word here. I thought it was a stray from that reason. But even the larger point that I made earlier, and that Sam Hardiman has made repeatedly, is that right now you're looking for the Grizzlies to sign a new lease, right? And the issue isn't money. The issue seems to be, you know, we know that Jason Wexler has been leading tours of downtown. They want, so literally the Grizzlies' future here, someone is dependent on addressing right. This issue. It's not the issue is not, it is a very clearly a real issue. I just don't think it has anything to do with stars coming to Memphis or with this summer.
It doesn't. It was gratuitous and grandstanding on his part, but, like, that's what he does, right?
Right.
That's why I was trying to separate the messenger from the hyper specific kernel of real thing there, which there is.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Okay. You wrote a column, which I have assigned as homework, on what the Grizzlies might do with all of this stuff that they have. Very quickly, what's the main stuff that they have here, Chris, that they can deal?
Well, they got a lot of material to work with. I mean, in terms of to do trades in the NBA, there are salary matching rules, and they have a lot of different sizes now of contracts they can mix and match or use for different sizes of salary matching, right? I think breaking the Desmond Bane into the Cole Anthony and the Kavis Caldwell-Pope, which are both only two-year deals, one's $13 million, one's basically $21 million. Those are two really good, like, salary building blocks because they're different size salaries you can use for different size trades. They're attached to, like, good players, and they're not, like, bad long-term contracts. So there's not really a lot of negative value in the contract. It's closer to, like, a neutral kind of thing a little bit. But they also have, like, Brandon Clark at 12.5, and, you know, and if they wait until deeper in the season, they might have more because they might have Santi Aldama on a mid-level deal if they keep him. They might sign someone in free agency who then becomes tradable. So they have a lot of salary stuff they can use. In addition to the salary stuff, I think most deals the Grizzlies would do, the value would come not from the players but the draft picks. So players are there to match salary, and the draft picks are to add value. And now they got a big full cupboard of draft picks. They have all their own picks going forward. Not counting this season, but they replaced this one with the Orlando pick at number 16. But they have at least one first-round pick in every single draft going forward, and then three others on top of that. So they're plus three on first round picks going forwards. And so those are the two main things they have, but they also have enough room that they can trade stuff out and bring in more salary than they send out. So they have room to take in. So you put all three of those things together, and there's a lot of material to work with.
All right. Can they get Kevin Durant, Giannis, or Jaylen Brown?
Theoretically, yes. Realistically, probably not. Like, could you construct a deal that would be street legal? Yes. Could you add enough value that, like, if those teams were going to trade those players and those players were accepting of the idea of coming to Memphis, or you're willing to take a player who's not, which a lot of teams aren't, could you imagine a deal that would bring those players back? Yes. Do I think that's realistic? No.
Okay. The one that's you put in the same category, but is whatever, is Derek White. And I think Derek White is intriguing.
Yeah, sort of a subcategory a little bit. Yeah.
What do you think of Derek White?
I think if Derek White were like 3 years younger, I think that would be super interesting. It remains somewhat interesting. That it would be somewhat odd to trade away Desmond Bane only to replace him with Derek White, who's like, you know, the same size and position player, but 3 years older. But Derek White's a different kind of player. He's a much better defensive player than Bane. And he is on a contract that is more flat going out. So in theory, like if you did something like that, not only is it Bane for White long term, but it's Bane for White and whatever you can do with the salary difference, which is like a meaningful player too. And so, like, I wouldn't shock me if something like that happened. If Boston wanted to get off White and shave salary, you could trade Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for White. That would be an immediate like $7 million in savings for Boston, which is a lot more than that luxury tax. Question would be, even if Boston's willing to do that, how many draft picks are you throwing out there? Because Derek White is already 30 years old, right? So I don't think that's the ideal kind of thing for the Grizzlies, but I would not be dismissive of that. That would, if that happened next week, you would not have to, you know, get the smelling salts out.
How about Mikal Bridges? The Knicks gave up five firsts to get him, but he needs a new deal at the end of this year. Would you give up four firsts to get him from the Knicks and, you know, whatever salary needs to go?
I think there has to be, it depends on what level of understanding there is about what size of a deal you have to do, right? You're not trading for him unless you know you can re-sign him. And so how much you're having to pay on a new deal to me would govern a lot how much I'm willing to give up. I still like Mikal Bridges. I would like Mikal Bridges on this team. I'd be willing, if I knew I could sign him to a new four-year deal that was not like a max, that was somewhat short of that, I'd be willing to give up some assets to do it. But I'm not willing to give up three or four first-round picks and sign him to a deal that's bigger than the one Desmond Bane was just on. And so I just don't know how realistic that would be.
Who's a better player, Mikal Bridges or Desmond Bane?
They're different players. Bane is a better all-around offensive player, I think, as a combination shooter and creator. But Bridges is longer. He has more positional versatility. He does not seem to be the defensive player he was a few years ago in Phoenix, but I still think that his upside defensively is greater than Bane. So I think that's somewhat of a close call.
Okay. So then we get into a different bucket of players who you could trade Cole Anthony in a first, perhaps, theoretically, for, or some combination,
yep,
or whatever.
I believe the Grizzlies should be shopping that very package.
Okay.
So you can debate which first-round pick, depending on who you're trading for, right?
Right.
Not necessarily the Cole Anthony and the 16 in this draft. It could be the Cole Anthony and the Grizzlies' own first next year, since they got two in that draft. But just the idea of Cole Anthony and a first-round pick, what can we get for it? I believe the Grizzlies should be aggressively looking around and seeing what they can do with that. Because if they do that, they still have plus first-round picks. They still have the Kentavious Caldwell-Pope contract. You know?
So two that I think are intriguing are P.J. Washington and Herb Jones, who you mentioned,
yep,
here. Discuss. What do you like about
these
each
are,
of them?
They're slightly different kinds of players. Herb, right, Jones is more of a pure small forward, plus defense, like an all-defensive kind of player, if he's healthy, pure small forward. A guy who, like, I think people have been interested in with the Grizzlies for years at this point, and New Orleans just doesn't seem to ever want to trade him. P.J. Washington is a little bit more of a combo forward,
yeah,
like more of a
more
small
of a four,
forward slash power forward.
Yeah.
He is 6'6", like he's not that big. I feel like it's team context dependent. I think the presence of Jaren Jackson makes a lot of stuff work, as I've always said, lineup-wise. They were able to play Santi Aldama at small forward in a lot of lineups last season and have success with it. I think you could do that even better with PJ Washington. So I don't discount the idea that PJ Washington could log a lot of small forward minutes on a Grizzlies team with Jaren Jackson. And he's a guy who, he's not like a 40% career three-point shooter, but he's a guy who defends, who can score a little bit. He does a little bit of everything. He's only 26. He has played in the NBA Finals and been good in deep playoff runs for Dallas. That's the kind of guy who, like, could be a starter, could be a seventh, eighth man. But he's a guy you can see in a rotation on a real team going, playing deep into the playoffs, and he can be in that rotation for the next 3 or 4 years. Like, I would trade for him and sign him to an extension and just say, like, he's one of my, like, eight guys who's in my playoff rotation for the next several years.
One of the challenges of this list, of course, is I look at these players and I'm like, sure, but why does the other, and we don't know. Like, you don't know whether the other team would be willing to play, to trade any player. We didn't know the Celtics were going to be willing to trade Marcus Smart before they traded Marcus Smart. So we just don't know. But some of the, particularly the even more attractive players here, I'm like, yeah, they're really good. So why are they, why is anyone going to give them up? And I refer particularly to there, Trey Murphy III and Denny Avdija, who is both of them would be great. You know, why not?
Yeah. I think those are guys who there's no indication either of those teams are looking to deal any either of those players. Now, if you just – those are guys who you may have to just turn around and give up everything you just got for Desmond Bane, right? If you just turn it around and say, here's all the stuff we just got for Desmond Bane, like, those guys might get traded. But are you willing to do that, right? It gets into a matter of value. Like, if you call up New Orleans and say, we'll give you a salary match and 4 first-round picks, they might trade you Trey Murphy. I don't know. But are you willing to do that?
Right.
Are you willing to spend everything you have on one of those guys?
You would love them, I take it. Either of those two would
be... Yeah, I think those guys would be great. But I don't know if I want to give up everything and say, this is all I have to work with, and I've spent it all on... I'd consider it, because they're young enough and positionally they're the right guy and all of that. I'd have a meeting about it, but I wouldn't leap at the idea of giving up everything I just got for Desmond Bane for those guys.
You mentioned some others in passing here. Don't get hit by that car.
I'm standing in front of a coffee shop.
Nickeil Alexander Walker is a restricted free agent. That could be a sign and trade. Bobby Portis, Josh Hart, Moses Moody, Max Strus, Kevin Herter.
Bobby Portis thing is an interesting one, because that's one I could see happening without giving up any picks, right? Or maybe you give up a second-round pick or whatever. And that's just a straight-up challenge trade. Dudes make the same salary. They're kind of the same level player at different position. The Bucks need a point guard with Lillard out. That's a deal that would not shock me if that sort of happened, and it would sort of make sense for both teams. You're not really giving up anything.
How about Cam Johnson?
I don't think that's the thing that would happen this summer. I think if the Grizzlies, you know, did something else and things are clicking, you look up and, like, you're in the hunt at the trade deadline, and Cam Johnson's the kind of guy who, like, you know, might boost your, maybe you would get involved in that. But I don't think that's a first kind of deal for the Grizzlies right now, the way they're set up, because I'm just not convinced. I think the Grizzlies have not been convinced. That's why they were limited to how much they were willing to offer for him in the past. I'm not convinced he's like a starting small forward.
Okay, and then lastly, you have some make them say no. And again, this is like, well, why would they trade him? Brandon Miller's
This is totally made up stuff.
Yeah. Brandon Miller's, like, really good. Oscar Thompson is, well, he's terrific defensively. Tamani Kamara is been a great discovery by Portland. Is that you just stack a whole lot of stuff and see if you.
If you put the best pick you got from all this is that pick next year that seems likely to be the Suns pick.
Yep.
Like, you know, when I game it out, it's probably going to be like the 12th pick in the draft. But there are scenarios where it's like the 5th pick in the draft, right? If you put that on the table, let's say with Gigi Jackson, and say, hey, Portland, we'll give you both of these things. You can take two shots at an offensive star. One is Gigi, the better one is his draft pick. Give us this great 3-and-D, like all NBA defensive player who can knock down threes but is never going to be an all-star 20-plus point scorer. Do they say yes? Do they do that? Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Do the Grizzlies do that? Maybe not. I think there are scenarios where you could offer enough, you could get that player. But are you willing to offer enough? You know, that's true of a lot of people.
Is there a player on this list who is the sweet spot of you like it and seems feasible? Like, seems pretty logical. Is there either one or two.
I think both the Dallas guys, and in particular P.J. Washington, but like P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford are both guys who are kind of boxed out from their top level roles with the Mavs right now. P.J. Washington is basically the same positionally as Cooper Flagg, who's about to be the number one pick in the draft. And Daniel Gafford, as good as he is not as important to the Mavericks as Anthony Davis and Derek Lively. He's a similar kind of player. The Mavericks really need guard play. They had no guards with Kyrie Irving out. So I think, you know, Cole Anthony and some draft asset stuff for either of those guys would actually make a lot of sense for both teams, depending. I mean, the sticking point is the level of draft asset, but I think that's a natural match.
If you were to do that, let's say P.J. Washington, you were to give up one of your firsts and the salary, and you got KCP and you got P.J. Washington and you've lost Desmond Bane. Are you better or worse?
You're probably worse, but you're different. Like, you're really shoring up your defense, you're shoring up your depth. The other thing about that is that, let's say that's what you do, right? Let's say it's Cole Anthony and one first-round pick.
Yep.
And you still got three. You just traded Desmond for four first-round picks. So you still got three of them. And you still got this KCP contract you can still trade. So you can still trade, in theory, if you take with Caldwell Pope's contract and three first-round picks for, like, you know, Derek White or whatever. Now, if you look up and you got Derek White, I'm just making stuff up. You look up and you got Derek White and P.J. Washington for Desmond Bane, you might be better, right? And so that's the kind of deal where you're using, I call it the split the baby, right? You use part of this ammunition you've attained and you save some for maybe a deal later. And so I think it's a step towards being better, but it's not all the way there.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
That's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian. We got Sam Hardiman coming up next. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Sam Hardiman. Sam Hardiman, of course, covers the city for the Daily Memphian. He joins me now. We missed Sam for the last couple of weeks. Sam, one of the interesting things is, as you've been away, you just looked smarter and smarter, because, like, one of the things that you told us a few weeks ago was when public employees were given a whatever it was 5% pay raise or something like that, you're like, yeah, I don't know if they're going to get that. Stay tuned. And we've had developments on that front. It appears that you were right. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I can't claim that I'm very smart or intelligent or anything, but the Memphis City Council did pass the city budget last week on June 10th, and as part of that, there was a budget compromise, and that budget compromise entailed a 3% raise for city employees, not a 5% raise that they had been promised, and many of the same people who had voted for the 5% raise turned right around and voted for the 3% raise and essentially preached fiscal restraint, saying that the city did not have the money to give more. And so that's what ended up happening. And here we are. That included, and I think we should watch this in the coming weeks, that included the Memphis Firefighters Association had agreed with the city last year for a 5% raise last year and a 5% raise this year. As part of the budget amendment last week that passed, that promised raise, which, as I understand it, was in the memorandum of understanding between the city and the Firefighters Association, the two-year MOU, that raise was cut to 3%. And so that has raised the ire of the Firefighters Association, and I think we'll see a little more on that in the coming weeks and months.
Let me ask you this, Sam. When you were a young pup growing up in Rhode Island, right? Rhode Island? Yep, Rhode Island.
I think. That is correct. I grew up in the Ocean
Did
State.
Did you dream of digging into MOUs and the world of city politics? How does one become a metro a city reporter like you did? This was the 12-year-old Sam dreaming of this?
Well, 12-year-old Sam was dreaming of playing defense in the NHL, and then Sam grew to be about 5'7", barely.
That's how tall Brad Marchand is. He's 5'7", isn't he? Nine?
I think he's a little taller than that, Jeff. I think he's a little taller than that.
He's a little guy.
Maybe, but I don't have the puck skills that Brad Marchand has. I have some wheels, but I don't have the puck skills. And so anyway, honestly, I went to the University of Missouri. I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. Then I took a look at myself in the mirror and said, you're not that good looking. Let's not do this. And the idea of grinding my way up through covering high school sports, while it appeals to many, did not appeal to me. And I thought, I don't really have a competitive advantage in this, but I can read. I know how to read. And so that's sort of how I backed into covering local politics and news, is just the fact that I was like, I can read, and I read better than some people, so I should do this.
Well, there's a certain tenacity is required, too, like, and a willingness to, like, this is important stuff, but it is revealed in granular detail, right? Isn't it? I mean, isn't that the sort of challenge?
Yeah, it is. I mean, a certain amount of patience that I don't think any of my school teachers would have thought that I had, but that I discovered over time. Yeah, and just, you know, the willingness to keep learning and have an open mind. I think, I mean, anybody can do what we do. You know, Elon Musk obviously wants to empower everyone to be citizen journalists, but you know, I think that there is some truth to that, that people can really, you know, if you're just exercising your First Amendment right, I just happen to be paid for it.
All right. The news yesterday was the NAACP is going to sue.
Not the NCAA.
No.
Very different organization.
If the NCAA sued, they'd lose. They'd sue Musk. They're going to lose. But the NAACP is preparing a lawsuit against XAI over the gas turbines. It would not be the Sam Hardman segment on the Jeff Cuckon Show if we didn't talk about XAI and gas turbines. What is happening here, Sam?
Yeah, so as we've discussed many times, but to catch people up, when XAI first came to Memphis, they needed to power up their data center here in Memphis very, very quickly, okay? And in order to do that, they needed Memphis Light Gas and Water. And what they really did is they built new substations to be served by Memphis Light Gas and Water's grid. Building new substations takes time. So in the meantime, what XAI did is they installed, at its peak, probably well more than 30 natural gas turbines and Tesla Megapacks, which are battery storage, to combine and power this massive data set, okay, which uses about 3 to 4% equivalent electricity of the MLGW grid on a given day. Okay. What they did not do when they built this power solution for these turbines and megapacks is they did not get an air emissions permit. These natural gas turbines, they emit hazardous air pollutants and other things that are typically regulated under the Clean Air Act, okay? They did not get an air emissions permit. They have said, and the Greater Memphis Chamber has said, that they are operating under a 364-day exemption that keeps them from getting this permit. Why this all matters is the Southern Environmental Law Center, and now representing the NAACP, and NAACP, yes, that is correct. Sorry, you got me a little confused there, Jeff.
Sorry, my bad.
It's okay. Have argued that, no, they did, in fact, need this air emissions permit, and that the fact that there isn't an air emissions permit right now for these turbines, okay, as they're getting, as they're powering this data center, is a violation of the Clean Air Act. So what happened yesterday is the NAACP filed a notice of intent to sue. So under the Clean Air Act, you don't just get to file a lawsuit against the polluter or against the regulator, okay? Instead, what you have to do is you have to provide them 60-day notice that you're going to do this, okay? It's sort of like designating someone from the injured reserve in the NFL, okay? If people want to think about it that way. And this gives the polluter or the regulator time to take action to rectify the situation before it heads to the courts. But yesterday, the NAACP, led by the – so they're going to be represented by the lawyers of the Environmental Law Center, said, hey, notice of intent to sue. We believe you've been operating these permits illegally for well more than a year, so your 364 days is up. We don't actually think that applies to you, but if it did, it's up anyway. And you guys don't have – we do not believe you have any of the pollution control measures that would reduce emissions from these turbines, and thus you should have been monitoring the emissions from these turbines by now, and these are all the things that we think you have done that violate the Clean Air Act. So that, in a nutshell, is what is happening. So we are shaping up sometime in mid-August, probably around August 17th, 16th. Haven't actually done the math yet. If nothing has changed, they say I will get sued by the NAACP.
Hasn't? So, really, first of all, they have two arguments. One is that you needed the permit all along. Is that right? And the other
they've
is...
They've argued that, yes, from the beginning. Yep,
and then even if you didn't need it all along, even if you had a 364-day exemption, your time is up. Those are the two basic arguments. You started this in, whatever, early June last year, and so your time is up? Are those the basic...
Yep, that is the argument they provided in their lengthy, I think it was 58-page, plus exhibit, notice of intent to sue. Yesterday, satellite imagery, which is reportedly from June 12th of 2024, which is obviously more than a year ago, that show turbines on the site. At the same time, these images do not show. I mean, you can put a piece of equipment somewhere, that doesn't mean it's running, right? But they are making the argument that on information and belief, they believe these turbines were running in mid-June last year, and thus these 364 days has to be up.
Let me ask you this. Hasn't XAI indicated that they're only going to be using these turbines temporarily, and therefore the wheels of justice move slowly. Lawsuits take a while. There's going to be discovery, and there's going to be also. Isn't it possible that the turbines will no longer be in use by the time any of this, you know, gets to trial? Have they represented that, or am I making that up?
No, you're not making it up, Jeff. So there are two tracks here. XAI plans on removing most of these turbines by the end of the summer, essentially, when the second substation, there are two substations, one they've already connected to for Memphis Light Gas and Water, when that second substation for Memphis Light Gas and Water, which they're building, actually, Memphis Light Gas and Water, because XAI is literally building it at their expense. When XAI is done with that substation, then XAI only plans on having 15 turbines on site. Those 15 turbines would be permanent, but they have applied, and we've talked about this in the past, they've applied for an air emissions permit for those 15 permanent turbines. So something around 10 or 11 turbines that exist on the site today, the Southern Environmental Law Center says there's about 26. I've counted 20 plus in the recent weeks. Those 10 or 11 of them still have to leave. And so, yes, there is the wheels of justice turning slowly, and this problem could be moot in some ways by the time that it gets to any sort of official legal action of actually filing a lawsuit. But I don't necessarily, and I'm not a lawyer here, you are, maybe you can tell me, but I don't necessarily think that just because the problem is gone, that there can't be legal action of the problems of the past, right? And so I think that's where we would probably head.
Well,
but
they could
again,
very quickly be asking for some injunctive relief anyway. Like you can do that basically very quickly once you file the lawsuit. In terms of the 12 to 15 or whatever that number is that they're going to continue to use, is the idea there it's going to be used sporadically or all the time? Sporadically when needs arise, or is it?
It would be sporadically, largely when needs arise, but at the same time, in the permit, they don't have plans to be firing these things all year. Right. The air emissions permit that they have, it is not for continuous use. It's from what I've read, and so that could change. There can be amendments. There can be stuff like that. But no, and not at this time. I mean, right now, what they would be relying on is then the grid that you and I are relying on, the thing that's powering Clark Tower that I'm standing in right now. That's what they'd be relying on. They would still have these Tesla mega packs on site, which is battery storage. So when it gets very hot, like say next week, XAI has pledged and has in the past come off of the grid and use both these turbines and those Tesla mega packs to keep essentially Grok, which is the thing that you ask questions to on Twitter now, running.
What is the deal with the trespasser at Mayor Young's home?
There is an interesting and unfortunate incident where Memphis police responded to Mayor's East Memphis neighborhood on Sunday night. And the police report, which my colleague Aaron Fleming obtained and we wrote about, is essentially a man was walking around, knocking on doors, and that includes knocking on the mayor's East Memphis door and home.
And they're investigating. And obviously, given the trend of events in Minnesota, probably fresh alarm over that. Finally, Sam, you know, all this stuff about Stephen A. Smith and players that may not want to come here, whatever else. One of the interesting things is that we have talked about that crime has a real impact on the Grizzlies. Like, we can dismiss what he's a loudmouth and all of that. That's true. And this was sort of gratuitous in the context. But you've written about before that the crime in terms of the area around FedEx Forum is of real interest to the Grizzlies, and it's one of the things that they're still talking about in connection with when they're going to sign this lease. I mean, it is whatever one thinks about what happened last night, it is true, isn't it, that crime has an impact on the Grizzlies like it does on all of us?
Yeah, I would say that's absolutely the case. You know, it's not my job to weigh in on Stephen A. Smith. Right. I think the last time I watched Stephen A. Smith, I was getting a root canal, and that was tough at the same time to do both of those things at once. But, yeah, the Memphis Grizzlies certainly, and I can say this, I think, pretty confidently, certainly have a real interest, like everyone does, a real interest in Memphis crime, real interest in downtown crime, and how that is perceived as well, because the perception and the reality are both real here, right? The reality influences the perception, and then the perception then turns on the reality. And I'm speaking in riddles here. This is an inception. But, like, the point being is, yes, I mean, the future of the Memphis Grizzlies in Memphis, Tennessee, is tied to how the crime rate goes and how safe downtown Memphis, because that is where the renovations to FedEx Forum will take place, okay? How safe that downtown Memphis is perceived. And so comments like Stephen A. Smith yesterday are, you know, you don't know what the butterfly effect is. You don't know the flapping of the wings and how that's going to go. But it is all very real and relevant. And I think that's maybe why it touched such a nerve with so many people. Beyond the ragging on the city, beyond, you know, this guy taking a pot shot from New York City or wherever Stephen A. lies his head at night, it's also about the future of Memphis, and the future of Major League Sports in Memphis is very tied to crime. Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You can read his stuff at the Daily Memphian. Yeah, it's not so much just about whether free agents want to be here. It's about whether the franchise does. All right. If you're selling your house, Josh Heisel would be the person to call. And I say that because, listen, you might get all these offers. Hey, you're selling your home. We'll give you an instant cash offer. And they're probably calling from wherever, and they're going to give you pennies on the dollar. It is kind of appealing sometimes to think, I just want to sell my home without going through the hassle. I don't want to have to fix it up. I don't want to have showings. I don't want to have open houses. I don't want to have suspense. I don't have to just go ahead and give me an offer. Except the problem is, you know that these offers are going to be total lowball offers. You're not going to get value for your home. And that's where Josh Hysaw with his team at Keller Williams Realty come in. They will give you an offer for full market value of your home. Same convenience as the unsolicited offers, but we'll pay you significantly more. So if you're interested in selling your home, by all means, reach out to Josh Hysaw and see what he can do for you. The website, joshhasthebuyers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, the Frame Corner is the place to go if you are have something in need of custom framing. And I'm not just talking about your basic snapshot you took somewhere. You need, you know, slapped in a frame. No, I'm talking about things that matter to you. Your grandfather's arrowhead collection your pictures from your wedding day or the things that matter to you most. Go into the Frame Corner. They can turn it into something that you will have forever. You'll have on your wall. It's a way of enshrining memories, really. It's the Frame Corner. They've been doing it for 50 years. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Haven't talked a lot about the College World Series, Jeffrey. Big one between LSU and Arkansas tonight. Who do you got?
I'm going to say Arkansas forces the elimination game tomorrow.
Arkansas must win.
It's a must win for Arkansas.
LSU could afford to lose.
Correct.
Yeah. Have you been rapt watching the College World Series?
I would say I've been casually watching it. Last night, UCLA had a runner that tried to steal home in the first inning, and it was electric. Like, it was shockingly close. Like, it was one of those ones, they called him out at the plate, but when you saw the replay 38 times, you're not convinced he was out, but at the same time, it's like, if they would have called him safe, I think they would have kept it but it was awesome.
All right, what's coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Coach Hurd will join them at 1:25. Kevin Cerrito with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. CJ Hurt's going to join us during hour number two. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening. We got to get out of here. Our work is done.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.